All right, Colossians chapter 2. Now, as we read Paul's letters that he wrote to the different churches, which this is one of them, we see that these people here in Colossians, they had the right foundation in their life. That foundation is Christ. Look with me at chapter 1, verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren, notice, where was their position? They were what? In Christ. I'm in chapter 1, verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. And then look down at verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you. Since the day ye heard of it, and notice, they knew the grace of God in truth. And so these people had the right foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11, we saw last week, tells us, if you look up here at the screen, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is who? It's Jesus Christ. Christ is the foundation, okay? If you want to become a Christian, if you want to be a if you want to possess the hope of heaven, then you must believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and what it says to you. The Bible says that the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You must believe the gospel if you want to be saved. You must believe the gospel if you want to have the hope of heaven. You must believe the gospel if you want to escape the wrath of God, escape the coming judgment, and escape eternal condemnation because of your sin and your wickedness against God. And once you believe the gospel, once you put your faith in Christ, then He died for you on the cross. Aren't you glad Christ died for you? Amen. Man, He took our place. He was our substitute. He took all the wicked sins and the filth of Dan Proctor, and He bore the penalty for those sins on the cross. And man, how I praise God for that. And I praise the Lord for the day that I made a decision of my will that I was going to believe on Him to save me. And man, when I trusted Him as my Savior, He came to live inside of me, and He began to change my life. You know, many of the Colossians, they were getting off course because they were not building their Christian life in the way God intended. Oh, they had a foundation. They knew Christ. They knew the grace of God in truth. But they were getting off course because they were trying to build their Christian life entirely the wrong way. You know, if you have laid the foundation of Christ in your life, you're saved, you're a believer, you're born again. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, that you need to take heed how you build on that foundation. You know, if you were building a house and they laid a beautiful, beautiful foundation. I mean, it's just solid. Everything is right and it's just perfect. But then all of a sudden they started bringing in materials to build the building, and all of a sudden you notice a bunch of straw and bamboo. You'd be like, what's the straw and the bamboo for? Oh, well, we're going to build a nice structure for you here on this great foundation. Now, folks, that isn't going to cut it in Florida, is it? Because, you know, we got this thing called hurricanes. And so, you know, a straw, mud building that's made of straw and bamboo, that's not going to cut it. You know, with palm leaves for the roof, that's just not going to cut it. There's a lot of Christians that have a great foundation because that's Christ. You've believed on Christ. You've been saved. But you're trying to build on that foundation, as Corinthians talks about, wood, hay, and stubble. You're trying to build the Christian life in the wrong way. You know, there's a lot of people that admit that Christ is the only foundation. They're saved. But then, maybe they've been taught this, but they've been taught that you build your Christian life by doing this and doing that and you know, serving God and keeping a list of rules. That's how you build your Christian life. And so what happens is they create this religious system, you know, as the way that you build your Christian life. The Colossians were endeavoring to do that. They were trying to do just that. And we saw last week that'll never work. You'll fail every time. Last week we looked in depth at this chapter, and we saw four or five reasons why you do not build your life on a religious system. This is not a religion. Okay? Crossroads Baptist Church is not a religion. Okay? I want to make that clear. We are not propagating some religious system that we have built or that we have structured. We're not trying to push some religious system on this community. You know what we're all about? We're about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a faith. It's not a religion. It's a faith. And it's all about that faith in Christ. The Colossians were trying to, they were trying to build their life, Christian life, entirely the wrong way. And on this religious system that these false teachers had come into and were pushing. Paul reveals to us the surest and the only way to build your Christian life. He reveals that to us here in this text, Colossians 2. The crux of how you build your Christian life is found in Colossians 2, 6 and 7. I want you to look at it with me, and I want you to really think as you read. Okay? Colossians 2, 6. Remember, God expects us to think. We're not here to be entertained and just absorb. We're here to think. You have to participate with the message, and you have to think. And I want to encourage you to have a readiness of mind to receive the Word. Look at Colossians 2:6. He tells, and I want you to notice the as and the so. You may want to circle those. That is showing you right here that this verse is a parallel. He says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. What's He saying? He's saying, look, in your handout, you build your Christian life on the same basis on which you started it. And that is total faith and total trust in Jesus Christ. Hey, the Bible teaches salvation, is it something you earn or is it called the gift of God? It's called the gift of God. Can you earn salvation? Yes or no? Can you work and be good enough and then somehow wash away your sins by your good works? Yes or no? You cannot. There had to be a point in your life where you realize, man, I cannot save myself. I am not good. I have broken God's law. I've broken His commandments. I've lied. I've stolen. I've cheated. I've taken His name in vain. I've coveted. I've loved things more than God. I've broken all the Ten Commandments. And I deserve the penalty of sin, which is death. Separation from God in hell. That's what we all deserve, every one of us in here. And there's got to come a place in your life, and I hope there has been, where you realize, wait a minute, I can't save myself, but hey, you know what? Somebody told you that Christ did it all for you on the cross. He paid your death for you. He paid the debt for you. He took your sin on Himself. The perfect, holy, sinless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, took every one of your sins, and He paid them in full on that cross. Do you believe that? Listen, you got to come to the place where you believe that and you trust that. And when you come to that place where you really believe that, and you know what that'll cause you to do? When God finally gets it through these thick heads of ours that we can't save ourselves, it's a gift of God, and that Christ has done it all, there's nothing less for you to do, He's done it all, all you do is receive the gift of God. All you do is receive Christ. You believe on Him. And when you, by faith, when you believe that, what it'll cause you to do is humble yourself. And you'll cry out to God for mercy. You'll cry out to Him to save you. And you'll say, thank you so much, Jesus, for paying for my sin and dying for me on that cross. And that's when salvation comes. You see, He said, look at it again, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did you receive Him? You received Him by faith. Say that with me, by what? Faith. If you didn't receive Him by faith, then you've never received Him, because He can only be received by faith. So we receive Him by faith alone, by trusting Him, just simply believing on Him. He says, as you have received the Lord. This is one of those verses that's like the Christian life in a nutshell. It's like one of those classic verses that gives you the Christian life in a nutshell. It gives you the what a true life of grace is in this verse. And He says, just like you were saved, just like you received the Lord. And it was by totally God's grace. It was totally Christ doing it for you. It was totally Christ working in you. I couldn't do it. He had to do it. I couldn't save myself. It had to be Him. All I could do was trust. All I could do was to depend on Him who provided that salvation for me as a gift. It's the very opposite of religion. Religion says you got to do this, 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 and this, and you might make it. I mean, that's religion. It's rituals, it's creeds, it's doing this and doing that. It's what we preached last week. Religion says win 'em, wet 'em, work 'em, and whip 'em. That's religion. That's what it does. That's right. Win them over to your system of belief. Win them over, proselyte them into your religion. And then win them, wet them, work them, and whip them. And keep them in submission. And that's what you've got when you got Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses coming by your house. Because they've been whipped into submission. And they think they have to do all that in order to somehow achieve whatever it is they're trying to achieve. This isn't complicated. This isn't difficult. He says, as you... Look at it again. I just got to read it again. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord... Now it gets good. Now look at the rest of the verse. So, walk ye in Him. The same basis on which I started is the same basis on which I live. Let me say it again. The same basis on which I started, which was faith alone in Christ, is the same basis on which I walk and I live the Christian life. How did I start it? By faith. How do I live the Christian life? By faith. You got it. You're getting it. And then verse 7, he just reiterates, rooted and built up in Him, in Christ, and established in the faith, not a religion, in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. This is the very opposite of what many supposed Bible preaching churches teach. They teach that you're saved by grace through faith alone, but then the idea is, oh boy, now that you're saved, man, you need to show God what a good deal He got when He got you. You know, and you need to go out there and you just need to work and you need to serve and you need to do this and you need to do that and you need to just prove to God what a good deal He got when He got you. That's what most churches teach. But God's Word says, as I received Him, same basis as the basis of my walk. That's faith. Faith in Christ. God wants you to be rooted and He wants you to be built up in Him. That's how you build. You build the same way you started. Faith in Christ. Last week we saw that Christ took the only religious system found in the Bible, the law of Moses. And what did He do? Look at Colossians 2:14. We saw this Wednesday night in Galatians 2. Colossians 2:14. He took the only religious system, the law of Moses, and it was given to show people their sin. And in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it, what? Out of the way. And what did He do with it? He nailed it to the cross. Now, why did He do that? Why did Christ take the religious system called the law of Moses, and why did He nail it to the cross? Because in doing that, He is saying to you and me, who are saved, you don't need a religious system of do's and don'ts anymore. I've nailed it to the cross. You don't need that anymore. He's saying, I am sufficient for you. Amen. I am sufficient for you. Look at Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known. Man, God's wanting to make something known to you. Isn't that exciting? The God of heaven. The God, the Creator of the heaven and earth, He wants to make something known to you. What is it? To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery. What is the riches of the glory of the mystery? among the Gentiles. Well, what is it? What is the riches? What is the glory? Which is, say it with me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the riches of glory. Christ is all we need. As you live your life, placing your total faith and trust in Him, you know what happens? Follow me now. Remember, as I received Him, how did I receive Him? By faith. So walk ye in Him. How do I walk in Him? Same way, faith. And as I walk by faith in Jesus at work, Monday morning, as I walk by faith in Jesus in my marriage, as I walk by faith in Jesus as I raise my children, as I walk by faith in Jesus as I teach that class, as I walk by faith in Jesus as I do that outreach event, as I walk by faith in Jesus, then you know what the result is? Verse 7, Colossians 2, 7. I am rooted and I am built up in Him. I am established in the faith. I am nourished spiritually, Colossians 2:19. In your handout, I want to give you this statement. God's desire is that your life be built upon Christ alone. Now get that. He wants your life to be built on Christ alone. You know what? You build. Hey, some of you in here, if you build your life on what you do for the church, there's going to come a day when the newness is going to wear off. We've been doing Walk Through Bethlehem how long? 4 years. You build your life on what you do for Walk Through Bethlehem. Build your life on that, man. I mean, that's what you're building your life on. And boy, that's just a joy to your heart. You know what? After 3 or 4 years, the newness wears off. What's going to motivate you then? Hey, remember when the honeymoon was over in your marriage? We're still having ours, right, baby? But you know what I'm saying. Remember the newness wears off? Hey, what's gonna cause you to stick in that marriage? What's going to cause you to stick? Hey, you build your life like me. I'm a pastor. I build my life on the ministry here. What happens when I can't do that anymore? What happens when maybe I physically can't preach anymore? You're going to build your life on your church. You're going to build your life on your Christian service. You're going to build your life on your husband. You're going to build your life on your wife. You're going to build your life on your value system. You're going to build your life on your religion. You're going to build your life on your pastor. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't build your life on me. God's desire is that you build your life on Christ alone. Paul explains why this is so important. Number one in your handout, because Christ alone possesses wisdom. Chapter 2, verse 3, if you'll look at it with me. In whom are hid all the treasures of what? In Christ are hid all the treasures of what, church? Wisdom and knowledge. In your handout, it's what is wisdom? Wisdom is exercising proper discernment. I'm going to tell a story on two of my sons, and because I don't think they'll mind, because it's something we can laugh about now, but it wasn't funny at the time. Me and Clayton and Clint and Caleb loved to go to the ball field and play ball. And so we were over there practicing the other day, and we were batting and hitting. And I said, you know what, let's work on this. I said, Clint, you're going to play first base. Clayton, you're going to play pitcher, and I'm going to hit one to Clint. Clayton, as a pitcher, you have to go cover first. You with me? Yeah, Dad. Well, he went running over to first, and I guess he was so busy trying to find the bag with his foot, he didn't worry enough about that ball coming at him. And Clint, the big brother, 16, just rockets it to him, and it hit him right in the face. Didn't it, Clay? It hurt, didn't it? I said, well, man, I said, at least it deflected off your glove before it hit you. He said, it never touched my glove, Dad. It hit him full, you know, just full throttle. You know what, though? I said, you will never make that mistake again. And he said, that's right. You will not worry so much about the bag, and you'll worry about that ball. Make sure you got the ball. The other day, Caleb was playing shortstop. Remember that? man, he was doing great. I mean, he was just getting everything and whipping it to first. And I mean, just playing awesome. Well, he got out there where the grass and the dirt separate. That's not a good place to be. You see, when I hit the ball, as it hit the grass and the dirt where they come together, that ball, he had his mitt down, and that ball took a bad hop, and it came up and nailed him right in the nose. You know what? They learned a couple things through those things, and they learned to have some discernment out on the ball field. Amen? Wisdom, you know what? Here's the thing. Many times, we get some bumps and we get some bruises in this life because of improper discernment. We don't exercise wisdom. The Bible says there's wisdom that comes from God. The Bible says there's fleshly wisdom. The Bible says there's spiritual wisdom. The Bible says there's the world's wisdom. How we need spiritual wisdom that comes from God. In your handout, it says every day we make choices and decisions, and we must have spiritual discernment. And then in your handout, it says all true wisdom is found in Christ. Look at it again. Colossians 2, verse 3. In whom? In Christ are hid how many? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You're not going to find God's wisdom in the world. So you can quit looking. You're not going to find it. All the treasures of wisdom are found in Him, in Christ. Christ will guide you to just that passage you need in His Word. Christ will lead you to the right person to talk to. Christ will give you just the words to say in that meeting at work. Christ is the one that possesses all wisdom. And you know what? Christ, if Christ possesses all wisdom, that means as I walk by faith in Him, then I walk in His wisdom. Look at the next thing. We need to build our life on Christ alone because Christ alone possesses knowledge. Can I have some more in the A's, guys? Christ possesses knowledge. Look at verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures. Notice, in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom. Wait a minute, though. And what? Do you know there's some things God wants you to know and understand? There's some things God wants you to know. I just did a little word search on the word knowledge and know. You know what I found out? He wants you to know the things that are freely given to you by God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. He wants you to know what is the hope of your calling in Christ. Ephesians 1:18. God wants you to know the love of Christ. Ephesians 3:19. God wants you to know how to answer every man. Colossians 4:6. God wants you to know how to possess your body in sanctification and honor. 1 Thessalonians 4:4. God wants you to know how to conduct your home in a godly way. 1 Timothy 3:5. He wants you to know how to discern the perilous times of the last days of the church age. 2 Timothy 3:1. God wants you to know and to have a knowledge of His will. Colossians 1:9. He wants you to understand Paul's knowledge in the revelation of the mystery. Ephesians 3:4. You say, whoa! You just blew me away, Pastor. How in the world do you expect me to understand all those things? Colossians 2:3. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and what? Now let me make one thing clear. When I say in Christ is found all knowledge, that's speaking of spiritual knowledge that you need in your relationship with Him. As you seek to walk filled with His Spirit, He will take the Word of God, and Christ is the Word incarnate, and Christ who knows this book, Christ will reveal it to you in your spirit as you walk by faith in Him. He will fill you with the knowledge of His will. He'll fill you with the spiritual knowledge that you need. That's what the Bible's teaching. As you study the Word, Christ, remember, in Him is hid all knowledge, He will give you knowledge, wisdom, and spiritual understanding that you need from this book. People say, I can't understand the Bible. Well, okay, I understand that it's a deep book, but on the other hand, it's so practical and it's so relevant, you know, for today. If you can't understand the Bible, what I encourage you to do number one, study it more. You know, don't just give up. Just make it all the more, make yourself all the more determined. You know what? I'm going to study it. I'm going to study that book. You know, when you went to school, you couldn't just say, well, I can't learn algebra. I can't learn that. You had to learn it. You couldn't give up. You had to keep learning. Listen, you say, I can't understand the Bible. Yield yourself to Christ in you. He lives in you to reveal what you need at that time. You say, wait a minute. If Christ lives in me, I yielded myself to Christ before I read and I still didn't understand some things. Well, wait a minute. He will reveal to you what you need when you need it. Okay? You know what? Can you imagine? I mean, if He somehow poured into us the knowledge of every single word of this book, just like that? No. That's not the way it works. As you study, as you read it, He will reveal to you what you need to know that day at that time. He will reveal it to you. He will show it to you. I've got to hurry. Number three. The third reason why we build our life on Christ alone is because Christ alone possesses power. Please take your Bible and go to Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Him, the Him is Christ, for in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is, notice, the head. Christ is the head of all principality and what? Power. Now stay with me. Look up here. Don't go to sleep on me now. Please, don't go comatose. Listen to me now, all right? Many times, here's what we do. We say, oh God, give me power to get through this trial. Give me power to overcome this sin in my life. Give me power to work out my marriage. Give me power to raise up these kids to love You. God, give me power. And you've heard preachers say, you need to pray for power. Well, God has told you in His Word where all power is found. Colossians 2, 9 and 10 says, Christ is the head of all principality and power. In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ possesses all power. In your handout there on the front, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Get this statement in your handout. All divine power is found in Christ. And if you are saved, then you are where? In Christ. You're praying for something that you already possess and that you hold in Christ. I'll give you an illustration. Let's say that my jacket here, let's say that it's hanging up in my closet. Okay? And man, I mean, I am just a praying to beat the band. And this jacket's hanging in my closet, and I'm praying. And I'm saying, oh, dear God, please give me a coat. Give me a jacket that will match these pants. Oh, God, give me a coat that will match these pants. Well, I'm praying for something I already possess. So what do I need to do? What is my need? Is it to pray for a coat? No. What's my need? My need is to put it on. My need is to take it and utilize what I've already been given. Amen. In your handout it says your greatest need is to apply and utilize what you have been given in Christ. You say, how do I do it? You live by faith in Him. When the Bible talks about putting on the new man, that's Christ in you. God's saying, put on and utilize what you've been given in Christ. In your handout, it says, as you walk in Him, depending upon Him daily, that divine power flows through you. Real quickly, go back to Ephesians. I'll put the page number on the screen behind me. Just go back a couple of books. It's not hard to find. Go to your left a couple of books to Ephesians 3. And I really want you to see this. Again, it's the Word of God that's going to make a difference in your life. You've got to see this with spiritual eyes of understanding. And in Ephesians 3:16, look what it says. Ephesians 3:16. Here Paul is praying for this church. What's he praying for these believers? That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened, notice, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. Notice, he's not praying for some power outside to come in. He says, I want you to be strengthened by His Spirit in the what? The inner man. It's there. I just want you to be strengthened. within. Look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Let's skip on down here to verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power... Notice, it's not something you're trying to pray in. He says, according to the power that worketh, where? In us. We have Christ's power in us. Why? Because I'm in Christ by faith. And so as I walk by faith, then He manifests His power in my life. His power in my life towards my marriage and my children and whatever it is, whatever sin in my life. He manifests His power as I abide in Him and trust Him. Look with me at the next thing on your handout. It's the last point. We need to build our life on Christ alone because number four, Christ alone possesses life. Christ alone possesses life. Verse 13, Colossians 2, I'm sorry, go back to Colossians. Chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians 2, verse 13. This is a great verse. He tells these Christians, and you being dead in your sins, that's what we were, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that was our condition. But notice this, hath He quickened. That means to make alive. He's quickened. He's made you alive. Notice though, He quickened you together with Him, with Christ, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Notice we did not get this life, this quickening power, this life. We didn't get it by working for it. Stay with me. We didn't get it by earning it. Notice the words, quickened together with Him. That's speaking of Christ. Because I am in Christ, I am a partaker of His resurrection life. And at salvation, the Holy Spirit baptized you into the death and burial of Jesus Christ. The old Dan Proctor that was in Adam and in his sins was crucified and buried. And the new Dan Proctor was raised up with Jesus Christ. I am risen with Him. Say that with me. I am risen with Him. With Him. With Christ. Life is only found in Christ. And in your handout it says, after you're saved, as you walk in Him by faith, His resurrection life lives through you. Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, wait a minute, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. In your handout, I'll give you one more statement here. Christ did not just give you life, He is your life. Colossians 3:3-4. Hey, let me kind of just put a caboose on this, all right? Whatever you find yourself doing tomorrow, what are you going to be doing tomorrow? Think about that. Whatever you find yourself doing tomorrow, you say, I'm going to school, I'm going to college, I'm going to work, I'm working in the yard, whatever it is. Whatever you find yourself doing tomorrow, remember this. If it doesn't come forth from Christ in you, it's death. But as you walk by faith in Him, as you received Him, so walk ye in Him. So as I walk by faith in Him, His life within me flows forth. I need to build my life on Christ alone. Why? Well, we saw this morning. Look at it again. Why do I need to build my life on Christ and not the church? Why do I need to build my life on Christ and not my wife? Why do I need to build my life on Christ and not Brother Larry? Why do I need to build my life on Christ and not my service, not my ministry, not some religion? Why do I need to build my life on Christ alone? Look at it with me. Because Christ alone possesses, number one, we said, Christ alone possesses what? Wisdom. Number two, He possesses what? All knowledge. Number three, He alone possesses what? Power. Number four, Christ alone possesses life. Give you the last concluding thought there. When you believe on Him, you are placed in Christ and He is all you need. We are complete in Him. So you know what that means? It's no longer an issue of, is this right or is this wrong? You know, I've got to have my bracelet. What would Jesus do, right? You know, because whenever I'm confronted with something, I got to think and I got to ponder. Okay, let's see. If Jesus were, what would He do? No, that's not how you live your life. It's a nifty little idea, sold a lot of merchandise, but it's not biblical. Okay? It's not a thing of, I got to look at my bracelet to remind me. Okay, oh, yep, okay, let's see. What would Jesus do? No. That's not the issue. The issue is not you sitting there trying to think in your mind and trying to somehow bring up into your mind and figure out what would Jesus do and is this right? Is this wrong? Is this okay? Or is this against the church rules? Is this what Pastor Dan would do or would he not do this? Is this okay by God's law or is it not? Is this okay by my value system or is it not okay? You know, so many people live their Christian life that way and they're in constant turmoil. They never know what to do and it just stymies them. You know what? Let me give you a real simple question. Whenever you're confronted with something and you don't know what to do, here's a real simple question. Am I abiding and am I depending on Christ right now? Am I walking by faith and depending on Jesus at this moment right now? If so, He will fill you with His wisdom, He will fill you with His knowledge, He will fill you with His power, and He will fill you with His life. You're sitting there watching something on TV, or you're wondering, should I be sitting here watching this movie? Should I or shouldn't I? What would Pastor Dan do? Would he watch it? What would Miss Denise do? Oh, you know what? Is this, you know, what if somebody from the church found out? Would they think this is right or wrong? You know what? I can really save you a lot of time. As you're sitting there, all you got to do is say, you know what? Am I walking by faith in Jesus right now? Am I trusting Him and Him alone as I watch this? And if you are honestly just in love with Him and depending on Him at that moment, and if that's wrong, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ in you, will fill you with wisdom, and the Spirit of Christ will say, you know what, that's trash. That's just trash. You don't need to be putting that trash in your mind. You don't need to be filling your heart with that. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ within you will convict you, and He'll say, that's not right. You need to turn that off. You need to leave. That's just not right. You know, you're supposed to be thinking on things that are holy and just and pure and honest and good report. The Spirit of Christ will show you. That's a whole lot easier than me making a list of every TV show and saying yes or no, this is good, this is not. Isn't that a lot easier? Just you walking by faith in Christ. You relying on Christ in you. He'll show you. He'll reveal it to you if you're yielded to Him. In your handout, the last statement. As you received Christ by faith at salvation, you walk by faith in Him every moment. Look up here, and before I dismiss, can I say one thing to you before we start putting everything up? This is very important. I want to try to train you guys when we get the last blank. Okay, it's the most important time of the whole service. Because typically at the end, here's what I'm going to say and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to say this, if you are here this morning and you are not saved and you are not in Christ, today God wants this to be the day of your salvation. Christ died for every one of your sins. He paid a great price so you could be saved and forgiven. You cannot earn your salvation. You cannot work for it. If you try, you will fail because you'll still be found a sinner. Here's the thing. Christ has done it all for you. Will you believe on Him? Will you believe the good news, the gospel of Christ? Will you trust Him as your Savior today? Let's go to God.